Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we complete our study of Daniel chapter 4, covering verses 19 through 37, in a message titled, Nebuchadnezzar Chastened and Rebuked. And if you have any comments, questions, or prayer requests, you can send those to bbbfohio@yahoo.com. That email address again is bbbfohio@yahoo.com. Or you can send your letter to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. Now we begin our study titled, Nebuchadnezzar Chastened and Rebuked, Daniel chapter 4, verses 19 through 37. This is part 1 of 2.
So there you go. Listen to this. Wait a minute. This is a song I used to wake up to. Listen to this. I'll explain it. Listen. Hear the rooster? It's a little hard to... It's off the radio like 30 years ago. Somebody posted it on the internet. But the story behind that is that my dad used to wake us up with that. He'd crank up Zeke Mullins. He died a few years ago. He was about 93 years old when he died. But he'd sing that, love my wife, love my baby, love my biscuits sopped in gravy. Uh-huh. Yes, I do. And I hope you do too, neighbor. Go wake up your friends and neighbors and tell them don't miss none of this good old gospel country bluegrass music. That's what he'd do. And then he'd play the rooster every time. I used to actually be able to imitate that thing. Oh, you don't want to hear that. No. Now I just look like a rooster. Yeah. We're in Daniel chapter 4 if you'd like to open your Bibles. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Chapter 4. We're going to start... Yes. I'm hoping that'll time out right and we'll have some nice dramatic pauses. But we already covered the first 18 verses. Some of you are here for that. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. And we just do ask that we could really concentrate and take in what you have for us to learn your word. And Lord, we just pray that everything will go well as far as those being able to watch live and the recordings and all that. We want to reach as many people as we can with the Word of God. We thank you for this King James Bible. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the author and teacher. And we just ask you help us. And we want to be made and molded according to your will so that you can use us in your service and to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, before we get into the message, I got something here. Poor old Gloria didn't get to eat pizza tonight. We won't talk about why she didn't get to eat pizza because it's personal.
Thank you.
So I got her some bacon.
It's a bacon teether.
Say thank you.
There you go.
Grab it.
You want it?
You get it.
That looks weird.
Yeah, I'll let you take it.
Mommy told me not to take things.
So that thing's been in the freezer for several days, and now it's not even cold. I took it out just a few minutes ago, so. Yes.
That footage.
It's. Well, it is a teether, so it's not digestible. All right, good. You're welcome. All right, so we're going to finish up Daniel chapter 9, beginning verse 19. We titled this Nebuchadnezzar Chastened and Rebuked, because that's the purpose of what's going to happen from this point on. If you weren't here for the first half, the dream told us what was about to happen, and Daniel was called upon again. It's a different dream, not the same one, second dream. And Nebuchadnezzar calls in Daniel. Of course, the Chaldeans and all those guys couldn't help him. So that's why you call in Daniel. By the way, this is a picture. There's a few pictures that portray what it was like. Can you imagine a king of Babylon? Just keep that image in your mind as we study. The king of Babylon being brought that low. But beginning of verse 19, let me get my Bible there. Go ahead and read that with me. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. Now, this dream, as you can see, is quite a shock to Daniel. Says he was astonished, same idea as astonished. He was astonished for 1 hour. I don't know about you, but I've never been quite to the point. This is a shock where he's silent. But I've been in some situations that just left the old saying is made you feel like your bell had been rung. You ever heard that? It means like you suffered a blow to the head. And I don't know if you've ever done that, but I know Brother Jim can tell you. But I've done it. One time I was playing basketball at the church down south and went up for a layup, and somebody came up under me and I did a flip. And when I landed, my head went boom right on the ground. And my head just, I mean, it was just wrong. I probably had a concussion, but I was too stupid to go to the hospital. But I sat there for, I think, 20 minutes. Just sitting there. People walking, you okay? Yeah. You know, just like that. Well, that's kind of what happened to Daniel here. With this dream, he was so astonished, shocked, that it wrung him. And he just sat there for an hour. My Lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. And he must have prayed this, because he's still dealing with Nebuchadnezzar. Don't let him shoot the messenger. Amen? And there's been a lot of happen, a lot of water under the bridge, so to speak, here between Daniel and Nebuchadnezzar from the time he was first introduced and interpreted the dream. And you get a distance from somebody, even if you used to get along with them or you considered someone that you were at least on good terms with, but after a while you can start to wonder. Then you get faced with this. That's where Daniel is. And so in verses 20 through 22, it says, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth. We talked about that tree, you remember? And he told us about this in the previous verses in our previous study. Now Daniel's saying, well, as far as that tree you mentioned, that reached to heaven, and the whole earth could see this tree. So it's a massive thing. He says, verse 21, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. That tree. Verse 22, read it. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. So that tree represented, in this case, Nebuchadnezzar's world dominion, and the fact that even though he was a dictator of sorts, but he did provide prosperity to those Babylonians and to those even of other nations if they would join him and go along with his program. You didn't starve. He took care of his people. And that way he's a type of the Antichrist. He, just like this tree is pictured as his power, Antichrist is going to rule the world. But there will be pockets and people who won't go along with it. But his influence will be global. And Daniel later will say that he'll do something his fathers couldn't do, and that basically is spread the wealth. And that's why people who know the Bible and know Bible prophecy get a little concerned when politicians start talking about wealth redistribution. Because that's something the Antichrist is going to do. Distribution or redistribution of wealth. That means you take from these people who have a little more and you spread it out over here to these people who have a little less. And the Marxist idea is that then everybody will have enough. It's never worked. And it never will. And the reason is because not everybody, but a lot of those people who don't have very much, it's their own fault. And you could give them $1 million next week, and by the end of the year, they'll be broke again. We call that the lottery. Yes, we call it the lottery. Almost all the people that you read about who win the lottery have no money sense, and within a year or two, 3 years, and I can tell you stories of down southern Ohio, within a year and a half, 2 years, dead after winning the lottery. And so this whole scheme of getting something for nothing is not a biblical idea. We're supposed to work for it and earn it. To his credit, that's really how Nebuchadnezzar worked. But if you would work, then he would take care of his people. And Daniel is only human. How many of you understand that even the Apostle Paul, who wrote 12 epistles and wrote more of the New Testament than any other person, he wasn't infallible. The letters he wrote that are in the Bible are infallible. But Paul was a human being. Paul had his struggles. And I think that a couple of times he even told on himself in his letters about things he said and did that really weren't right. Because he was human. And Daniel is human. And it would not be fun telling Nebuchadnezzar that he's about to be totally destroyed. He's about to have the fall of his life. Just think about anybody you know that's doing okay and you have to be the one to go up and tell them you're about to lose everything. Hey Fred, your wife called me and asked me to come in and talk to you because she just found out that you're bankrupt. And that you're losing the house, the cars, and your reputation. Imagine being the person delivering that. And then multiply it by a couple hundred here when you're dealing with Nebuchadnezzar. In verses 23 and 24 then, it says, and whereas, he's still explaining to Nebuchadnezzar this dream, he says, and whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven. Remember we talked about those? These are angelic beings that we don't know a lot about. There are some people who pretend to know more about these things than they do. Be careful of these people, prophecy teachers especially, who will teach you about watchers and holy ones, and they get information and you can't find it in this book. That book of Enoch. How many of you have heard of the book of Enoch? All kinds of people have been getting into that, and they basically add it to and make it the 67th book of the Bible. And it's not inspired. And it tells you all kinds of things about angels that isn't found anywhere in Scripture, and people buy it. All kinds of names. I can't remember. Raphael, I think, was one of them. Names of angels. So when you hear somebody say, oh, I saw this, and I believe it was Raphael, or, you know, certain, that's where they're getting it. You know, right now, you know where they're getting it. It's not from the Bible. It says, and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it. This is what the watchers and the holy ones said. Yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the tree. In other words, he's not going to be killed. He's not going to be dead. But he's going to be hacked off of the ankle, so to speak. even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. Now, you follow me so far? Daniel's saying that tree represents you, Nebuchadnezzar. That tree's going to get cut down, and this is going to last 7 years. Well, the good news is it's only 7 years. You know, looking for that silver lining? There you go. And verse 24 says, "This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king." So Daniel has delivered the message. And as they say, here comes the boom. Verse 25, "That they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." You see, Nebuchadnezzar thinks way too much of himself. And I just want to bring this up. How many times you notice things that you hear pagans or unbelievers say, and you don't realize a lot of times they get it from the Bible? And this idea of 7 years of bad luck, that's where it comes from. The occult borrows from the Bible. That's why we got to be careful, because look up here. Got this, I'll get this on camera, and they'll have YouTube videos about me.
Okay.
All right? Now, if you're playing baseball, that means two outs. Did you know that? If you live in Texas, you're saying, "Go Horns." Texas Longhorns. See that? If you're serving the devil, you're sending a different message. You see? You got to be careful. You can see somebody doing that, it means two outs. This is going back, Mariah wasn't even born yet. I was sitting in the house of a preacher and his wife, and she'd been studying a lot and reading these books about the occult. We were watching the Cincinnati Reds, and Barry Larkin raises up and says, two outs. She says, "Oh, look, he's flashing the devil's horns." And the fellow's name is Ray. Ray and I looked at her and we're like, we just started dying laughing. She was white, sheet white. She had paled and almost passed out seeing this guy out there in the middle of the field. See what I'm saying? You got to be careful, but there are times where you're seeing people flash signs. There's this little thing here. If you have a jacket on, you see somebody doing that. He may be, because he's, you know, putting his hand over his heart, because he's saying the Pledge of Allegiance. Or he may be telling somebody something. That's a Masonic symbol, sign. So that they can, if you're a Mason, or you know what the Masons do, you'll see that. They're not saying the Pledge of Allegiance. And I told a story before where we're in a court and this kid was in trouble and his attorney kept doing this with this ring he had on. And then I'd only been learning about the Masons recently. And I looked up and I saw the judge had the same ring. And that kid got off scot-free. He admitted he'd done wrong. And that little ring, the attorney sitting there just doing this, and the judge had his hand up like this, and I'm sitting there thinking, 2 + 2 = what? And sure enough, dismissed. See? Well, 7 years is one of those things where the occult will use the number 7. But In the Bible, 7 is the number of completion. See? But you better watch it. There's people out there that use the number 7 for occult reasons. And one of the rock groups, Christian rock groups a few years ago, used the number 777. Because they said they thought it was because the Bible means it's a good number, 777. They didn't realize in the occult that's not a good number. That's bad. And so that's what I'm saying. Now, you see 666. Most of you know what that is. But if you see some guy driving down the road and he's got 3 sixes on his license tag, then you're not necessarily driving behind the Antichrist. You see what I'm saying? And I'm going into this a little bit because I've mentioned this a couple of weeks before and I've gotten letters and things, so I just want to be clear on it. Yeah, next time you're at the casino and you get 3 sevens, you're in. But then, knowing you, you'll blow it and you'll be back broke again. Yeah. Yeah. You take.
So in the Bible, 3 sevens is.
No, there's no 3 sevens in the Bible.
So in our life, because I remember Mom was showing me something that Michael Jackson, the statue had 3 sevens on his sleeve.
Yeah.
So is that like a bad thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You always have to be careful and make sure that you understand the purpose behind it. But yeah. Aleister Crowley, yeah, the whole occult. We'll do some more studies about that in the future, and some of it when we're going through Daniel. But as I say, that when it comes to Nebuchadnezzar, 7 years, so at least there's hope. So this isn't a death sentence. But in verse 26, read that with me. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. So he's telling Nebuchadnezzar here, you're going to lose your throne, but you're not going to lose it permanently. You're going to lose it for 7 years, and it's to teach you a lesson. What's funny is there's no record of Nebuchadnezzar saying, oh, wait a minute, you don't have to do that. I've learned my lesson. No need for this 7 year stuff. I repent. I'm sorry. He doesn't. You know, people, when they're in unbelief and sin, can be stupid. Me. I want to tell you, when I was in sin, I look back, man, I was dumb. Just dumb. Things I did, said, dumb. How many of you read the story of the Exodus recently? Anybody? The Exodus. Yeah, the Moses leading the children of Israel. What happened with the frogs? You remember that? Moses says, tell me when you want these frogs gone, Pharaoh, and I'll get rid of them. He says, tomorrow. His advisors, you know, Scaramucci over here, had to be saying, whoa, 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 wait a minute here. Let's just go ahead and get rid of them now, okay? No, one more night with the frogs. You ever heard? Preachers have preached that. You look, you hear, one more night with the frogs. So he's telling Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to learn a huge lesson. Amen? And look what Daniel preaches. He's going to preach repentance. Oh, that's a dirty word today. Not supposed to preach repentance. God saves you just the way you are. You don't need to repent. If you're a thief, get saved and then just try not to get caught. Yeah. You're a hooker? Well, get saved and find a better pimp. You think I'm joking? That's what's going on. You're a homosexual. You're a transgender or bisexual, whatever. You can be a gay Christian. You didn't know that? That's what's being preached today. They don't preach repentance. Just say the little prayer. Let's dip you in the water and put your name in the book. That's what it's all about. Daniel 4:27, Daniel says, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and what? Break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Now this flies in the face of the Calvinist idea of divine decrees as well. God is ready to forgive, and His long-suffering is amazing, and it's not because He picked you. God is ready to forgive anyone in this room. If you're unsaved, He's ready to save you. God never chose who would believe. God chose to save those who would believe. You see the difference? It's the difference between truth and heresy. Bible salvation and Calvinism. God didn't choose who would believe. He chose to save those who would believe. So you are the chosen if you're saved. But just don't get it mixed up with the fraudulent version of that from the Calvinists. But there must be what?
Repentance.
Now that's not penitence. And it's not confession. It's different. What repentance is what Daniel described there. There is a change in your attitude that ought to be seen in your actions. Now, there are some people who get saved and those actions don't change as quickly as some of us would like. But God will deal with you. You see, I preach and I preach, but I don't go running around chasing people down trying to deal with all their sins. I'll let God do that. He's better than us. Been doing it a long time. He's done it with me. Anybody here that God's ever dealt with you when it comes to sin? Yeah. Dealt with me. Verse 28. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. This is just, if you haven't read this before, the first time you read this, it just seems crazy. But unbelief is crazy. Verse 29. At the end of 12 months, so he went a year, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. And now read verse 30 with me. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? I have built, big I. That's what you call self-esteem. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand tonight, but a lot of you have been told that a problem with a lot of people is they lack self-esteem. I'm here to tell you that's a lie of the devil. That is what's killing this generation now. Self-esteem is antichrist. And God steamrolls that nonsense. Look at verses 31-32. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, love thyself. Didn't say that, did he? O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Read 32 with me. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will.